Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have World Council Credit Union's Brian Branch talking to us about International Credit Union Day and the latest status with credit unions in Cuba. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, if you are into international credit union issues, then this is the show for you. Mr. Brian Branch from the World Council of Credit Unions is on this program. How's it going, Brian?
It's great, Mike. Thanks. Glad to see you.
Glad to see you, too. Thank you very much for carving out a few minutes of your schedule to chat with us today about a very important event coming up, and it is called the International Credit Union Day, and it occurs October 15th. So what do you guys have planned for this big day? Because you guys are right there in the middle of it.
International Credit Union Day is a holiday we celebrate every year, third Thursday of October. And for us, it's about raising the awareness of credit unions and the work that they do, and stopping and reflecting on the history that we have behind us and that leads us on to the future. And as you may know, when they first started International Credit Union Day back in the 1920s, they started it on Benjamin Franklin's birthday.
Oh.
You know, because we always think of Benjamin Franklin and a penny saved. And eventually it moved to the third Thursday of October. And really, it's all about raising awareness for credit unions. We use it as an opportunity to tell communities about the good work that we do. But, you know, for us also, it's a very important international networking opportunity. We are a global movement. And so that's why, you know, we consider major International Credit Union Day, and we come up with art, posters, a slogan that we want to use going forward. Mm-hmm. And we get that out to credit unions around the world. And, you know, I've been in some remote communities and some credit unions up in the mountains, and I see that those slogans and those posters, that artwork.
What can, like, credit unions domestically do to kind of spread the word about this international movement? I mean, because obviously, credit unions—it's not just a U.S. thing; it's a global thing. But you know, it's pretty darn powerful in our country. So, what can domestic credit unions do to kind of help move the word as well?
You know, we've collaborated with a lot of credit unions here in the U.S. on International Credit Union Day, and they use it as an opportunity to communicate to their staff what the credit union values, what the credit union history, the credit union philosophy is all about. So a lot of credit unions have events, picnics, luncheons, presentations that they share with their staff, mm-hmm. or they share it with their members. I mean, there are credit unions that do events with their members as well. And we've also used it a number of times, certainly in the U.S. and in Australia, for credit unions to highlight the community work that they do and what they've given back to their community. And then we share with them what other credit unions are doing around the world so that they can show being part of a network helps give something back and is important to the community itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, I can imagine, you know, I think probably the general credit union member, at least here in the U.S., probably doesn't have a great idea of how international credit unions are. And so I think if, you know, credit unions can spread the word to their members as well, and that kind of gets the word out too, that, you know, this is truly a global thing there that they're involved in.
You know, absolutely. And we're different, and so this is an opportunity to talk about how we are different,
and
to really show that, as you say, at the international level and also at the community level.
Yeah, indeed. So one of your biggest, I'm going to kind of segue into Cuba here. Mm-hmm. One of your biggest projects right now is getting credit unions in Cuba. So how is that going? Because you've been down there a number of times already. So what's the latest status there?
Absolutely, and I'm headed down there again this weekend.
Good.
So. You know, Cuba is a small country. It's about 12 million people, but it's an economy going through a transition, and we've seen that credit unions provide such a difference and make such an impact. The Cuban economy is not able to sustain a large state sector that it has with the previous support from the Soviet Union and Venezuela, mm-hmm. and so there are a lot of people who are going outside the state sector now, trying to set up their own businesses, private enterprise, cooperative enterprises. And that's very heavily regulated, very controlled. It's still an experiment. Credit unions provide them with an option to provide them with a way to accumulate assets and to save and to finance the capitals of their small businesses. Mm-hmm. And there's very little of that being done today by the state banks in Cuba. There are microfinance organizations that say they want to do this, but at a very, very high cost. And we think that credit unions offer a much more reasonable cost and an opportunity to practice local grassroots democracy mm-hmm. in Cuba for these people.
And so, I mean, obviously there are massive hurdles in getting this goal done. I mean, what can we do as United States credit unions? How can we support the movement down there? Is there anything that we can do?
For us, the next step is to raise awareness with the Cuban government and convince them to allow credit unions to exist, allow a policy framework where we can pilot and show with some credit unions what that can do to help the Cuban people. And so that's the purpose of my trip down there this week, traveling down with Jim Nussel from CUNA, Dan Mica with the Mica Group, Patrick Lapine from the League of the Southeast Credit Unions. And it's a chance to talk to some of the government folks. I'll be back again in November, December. Once we get that acceptance, then we can start to try to organize. And in the meantime is work with some of these entrepreneurs, some of these people that want to set up private businesses and set up cooperative enterprises. Mm-hmm. And they have very little training, very little experience running businesses, operating in a market environment, doing financial planning and accounting. And so we have to work with local Cuban organizations, and we have to work within the what is still a very state-controlled policy environment in Cuba.
Yeah.
So, as I say, we're going down with a group this week and helping to make that case to the Cuban government, helping to convince policymakers is a first step, helping to provide some support training opportunities for local entrepreneurs in Cuba who we hope will be a core basis on. And that's something that we've set up a new website and a vehicle by which credit unions in the U.S. can contact us and get involved in that process.
Fantastic, fantastic. We'll certainly put that link and all that information in the show notes too, so we can have our full support behind you guys. So good luck on the trip down there. We'll have our full support. Let us know what we need to do. And love to get the credit union movement going on in Cuba. You're also going to Peru, correctly? Or have you already been there? Or
sure.
What's the goal? What's the mission going on down there?
Well, you know, as we're talking about International Credit Union Day, and this is an important event for a lot of credit union systems around the world, and I wish I could split myself up into as many different pieces.
I know.
And be it there with International Credit Union Day activities, but this year I'll share that with Peru. So they build a conference around International Credit Union Day, get the credit unions in Peru together, talk about what their challenges are, what their strategies are going forward, very much look forward to the future. You know, it's an important holiday to them.
No doubt. Well, it's an important holiday to our industry, and I thank you for all the work that you do. And I mean, we were just talking before we started recording all the airline miles that you're racking up, the frequent flyer miles, and putting all those American Airlines and Delta pilots' kids through college and stuff like that. So I'm sure they're thanking you quite as well. But we thank you though for your service too. I mean, what you do is pretty phenomenal work, and everybody else at the World Council of Credit Unions. So I mean, well done, and keep up the good work. And anything else to wrap up, Ryan, before you take off to Cuba?
Well, sure. Well, first of all, thanks, Mike. And, you know, we're a small group at the World Council of Credit Unions, and we enjoy the work that we do, but we very much rely on everyone else within the credit union system. We get tremendous assistance from volunteers and supporters that help us do this work around the world. And so it's not just us doing this. A couple other priorities that we're working on is how do we increase our membership? And in particular, how do we attract more young adults? And so we saw this as something where we could help contribute by sharing some of the best practices and lessons learned and connecting those credit unions that had success with other credit unions that are trying to figure out how to do it. So it's become a global campaign for us now. Our challenge, our campaign, is to add another 50 million new members from into credit unions. Membership around the world. Yeah. We had a call from The Economist magazine this morning asking us about the campaign. And so we're hoping this is something that's going to help give us some new inertia and keep us growing at the rates or better after that bump in consumer interest in credit unions. We don't want that to fall off. We want it to grow and really build on that momentum. And the other thing that we're pretty focused on right now is Ukraine. And so we're headed out to Ukraine shortly as well. Their financial institutions have pulled out of the rural areas in Ukraine, and so the Koreans have asked us to help how they can start providing financing to farmers, small enterprises, to keep people employed, let people get the crops back in the fields when spring comes, and you know, take care of their family needs in this period of conflict. And credit unions are really the serious financial institutions out in those rural areas that are trying to tackle this.
Gosh, I mean, it's amazing how we kind of take for granted the financial services industry, but when you talk about it in those terms, you really realize how much a credit union can impact somebody's life, not only here in the U.S., but really all over the world. And gosh, you put it down to the basic level, it's like, wow, it's a pretty big deal.
You know, absolutely. And that's the credit union bug that has bit us and why we keep doing this work. And, you know, it's the rewarding part of the work that we do that we see that kind of impact. But I have a caveat here. I see this all the time in the United States. And
so you're right.
The work that credit unions do here in the U.S. and in our home country makes that kind of difference as well.
Indeed.